Welcome to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Tonight, Pastor Jeffrey Campbell will continue with the new study series, Battleground. Tonight's scripture is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18, and the sermon is entitled, The Essential Equipment.
Tonight, as we are going to continue right now in Ephesians chapter number 6, we're going to continue on in our Battleground series. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the battle and that we are engaged in a close combat. And we looked at identifying who that enemy is, and we circled that enemy as Satan himself. And then we looked at the exhortation that we need to stand and withstand the enemy. So tonight, as we think about what that battle looks like, that was part of the picking of the song, Onward Christian Soldiers. There is a battle that we are a part of. And tonight, it's not a mere offensive battle. What we're going to talk about is mainly defensive. And so that may not be what we like. I don't know if you like pro football or college football. I like football. And I like a high-scoring offensive game. Just throw the ball and run the score up. Those games that are 10-3 or 6-3, I don't have patience to watch that stuff, right? I want to see some offense, right? Well, tonight, maybe that's your flavor, your cup of tea is offensive-minded. And I pray tonight that as we understand the Word of God, God wants to give us that defensive mind as Christians, that we are not to be always on the offense, but we are to be defensive in what that battle, as that battle ensues. So, as we talk about the battleground, we have entered the battle, and tonight we are going to talk about those essential, or that essential equipment that we need as we enter the battle. You can't avoid the battlefield. You will enter it at some point or another, and you will enter it either equipped or vulnerable. And here's what I've learned. When you wake up in the morning, you don't know what's coming later on that day. So you can't say, oh, I'll put the equipment on if I need it. No, what we are called to do is to arm ourselves at the beginning of every day, because we don't know the wiles and the tricks of the devil and how he will attack. So my prayer through our study tonight is that you realize you must be prepared for battle, and that you identify what equipment has been given, and that you are willing daily to put that equipment on to stand against the attacks of the devil. Maybe you have grown up, I grew up, learning that you need the right tool for the job. Man, any of you taught that? Any of you learned that? Maybe you've tried the other way around. Maybe you've tried to use the wrong tool for the job. When my boys were little, we had a camping trip up in the National Forest. And if you know anything about camping in the National Forest, it's nothing to do there. There's no slides or playgrounds for the kids. But there were trails, and my boys had bikes, and there was a creek. And so I thought, oh, we're good. The boys will be entertained all week. So they rode the bike and got tired of riding the bike. They played in the creek, got tired of playing in the creek, fishing and stuff. And then I look on the back of my truck, and in my toolbox, there are two boys rummaging around. And I told Terry, this is not going to be good. So I just let them rummage. I didn't jump in. I just wanted to see what they were going to do. And that those two little boys of mine, the entertainment for the week was they were using screwdrivers and adjustable wrenches, screwdrivers for chisels, and an adjustable wrench for a hammer, and they were looking for gold in the rocks. So I came back with that from that camping trip with a non-adjustable wrench, and I think it was set at a metric set, and I had to throw that thing away. It wouldn't adjust anyway. But tonight, when we think of that essential equipment or using the right tools, here's what you need to understand. We have the right tools available. If you are a believer, if you are saved by God's grace, you have the equipment to withstand the battle. Amen. Will you use it? Will you put it on? That's the proclamation of our message tonight. So we have that equipment. We can stand against the devil, we can be victorious against the devil, but we must simply put it on. With that, Let me do this. Let me pray real quick before I read. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, tonight, as we open your word, God, I pray, Lord, that every person in this room will hear from the Spirit of God. God, thank you, Lord, that you meet us in this place. And Lord, that you use a stumbling tongue. But God, I pray tonight that the people will not hear my words, they will hear your words. And Lord, that you will remind us, Lord, maybe tonight there's somebody in the heat of that battle that needs a victory, Lord. God, that show them what they need to do tonight. Open our eyes to your truth. Your word is truth. And we just sit before you tonight and pray that you teach us now. Lord, lead us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 13, Ephesians chapter number 6. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Really, there are 3 points tonight as we think about the essential equipment. And that first point tonight is this: the front line matters. I don't know, when you survey what equipment that you use, when we think about the battlefield, one of the most important areas of battle is the front line. Amen. And many people do not want to go to the front line. They want to enter the battle from afar, from a distance, from a safe place. But how many of you know, if you are equipped right and you are in the will of God, there is no safer place. Even the front line can be a safe place. And so the essential equipment, when we look at the front line, this is where the heat and the heart of the battle takes place. It's where engagement happens. Evil is on one side, the godly and the good are on the other. And on this line, strategies collide. Stability is the goal, and it is where success lies. But Paul gives us 3 things that need to happen on the front line of this battle. And it is essential to the battle. The first one, in verse number 13, you see this: wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Here's what the first thing you need to know is you need to put on the whole armor of God. It is very intentional, and it is key to starting and standing against the enemy's attack. To withstand the attacks of an enemy takes the whole armor of God. Without that armor, the front line of battle will fail. You will lose ground if you don't put on all of the armor. And so when we think of that front line being the face of the battle, there are people that I know who pray through this, who read through this, who make this very intentional every single day as they start out the day. Now, I'm not telling you you have to do that or you're not putting it on. I'm not telling you that. But I'm just telling you this. When you think about putting on the armor of God, it must be done, and it is essential to winning the battle on the front lines. And with that said, the Lord has equipped you with all that you need, but you can't forget any part of it. What else happens on the front line? Look again at verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So the second thing that happens on the front line is a withstanding or a standing. Those two words are used. What does it mean to stand or to withstand? Here's what that simply means. You will be on the receiving end of the attack. No questions asked. When you are on the front line, you are in the heart of the battle, you're in the heat of the battle, and you know the attacks are coming. By putting on the armor and with the Lord's help, you can withstand those attacks. And I love Paul's words, having done all to stand. This comes with a commitment to the Lord throughout the battle. No matter what, Lord, I'm going to do as you say. I'm going to stand. I'm going to do everything in my ability and your power to withstand the attacks of Satan. The alertness of knowing the attacks are coming, the resilience to know that no matter what comes, you are equipped. You have what you need to stand against the attack and to withstand the attacks. God has given that to you. That happens on the front line. And the third piece of what happens on the front line is this. I personally believe victory happens on the front line. Look at verse number 13. It says this. The middle of that verse is this. That you may be able to withstand. Here's what that translates. You are able to withstand these attacks. Victory can happen on the front line. And so that front line is very important. Victory doesn't happen in our own strength, by our own ideas or plans. Victory happens when people obey God's command, God's orders on the front line of battle and carry them out. Amen. When we take that stand and we have the whole armor of God on, we are more than conquerors, as the Bible says. We are not just pawns in God's great plan. He's not left us defenseless or helpless or defeated. He has not forgotten about us. He has given us the game plan to win the battle. And that happens when you engage the enemy on the front line. Victory happens on the front line. And so, I want to remind you, victory also happens day by day. You don't just go in one day and win the battle. It's every day putting on this armor, standing against the attack, and God will lead to victory against the evil one. That front line is essential in battle. And my prayer tonight is you realize how important that front line is. Tonight, some of you may really feel that front line attack tonight. Whatever you're going through, you feel it. There's a second thing. Look at verses 14 through 17. Ephesians 6, 14 through 17. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The second part of the essential equipment is this, is the armor that we are to put on. There are six pieces of armor that God equips us with. And with this armor that you can withstand or make a stand against any attack Satan offers. And so these are important. If you have a pen and you want to jot them down or underline them in your Bible, feel free to do so. Those six pieces of equipment start with the belt of truth. You can see that in verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What does a belt do? How many of you wear a belt? Yeah, most of us do, right? And some of us wear it for a fashion statement. Well, let me tell you this. The belt of truth is not a fashion statement. It's not to go with your outfit or make it look good. The belt of truth is just like my belt. It holds all the middle together. You know, it holds your shirt tucked in and your pants up. That's what it does. And so, when we think about that belt of truth, it's more than that fashion statement. That belt of truth holds everything together. The loins of who we are our strength. It is a symbol of our strength and readiness. It is the center of who you are. And it must be held together. What holds your life together? What holds your world together? What holds you together as a man or woman of God? It needs to be the truth of God that holds you together. And we are reminded in a Roman soldier's uniform, as Paul has in mind, that belt that went around that equipment, the waist of that soldier, held all of that equipment together. And for us as believers, it is what holds us together. Truth is what holds it all together. You should seek it. You should display it. But the truth of God should hold your life and your walk together. You find truth in God's Word. You find truth in the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, and that Spirit lives in us. Truth originates from God. It is found in His Word, and it is exemplified in the person of Jesus, our Savior. So the first piece of equipment is in the midsection, in the middle of who we are. The truth of Jesus allows us to enter the battle. It holds it all together. Now listen, that midsection will take some attacks. People will say, Jesus is not real. People will combat truth. Why you believe, what you believe. That's part of the attacks, but you have to be held together by that belt of truth. The second piece of equipment, also found in verse number 14, is the breastplate of righteousness. And Paul just says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. A typical soldier's breastplate was bronze or chain metal. And the goal or the purpose of that breastplate was to cover your vital organs. You all know that. You know, anybody that enters a danger zone, whether it's a police officer, a soldier, many of them go in with vests that are protecting, right? The soldier enters the battle the same way. He enters with that breastplate of righteousness because it protects all of the vital organs. And so that breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus that we receive when we are saved. When you stand before God, or when you are looked at before God because of the blood of Jesus and because of our faith in God, He sees the righteousness of Jesus when He looks at the believer. There's big technical terms of it being imputed to us. But what that means is simply this: when the Lord God looks at you, He sees the righteousness of Jesus instead of our sin and our wrongdoing. Jesus' righteousness has been put on our account, if you want to put it that way. Amen. Before God, Jesus' righteousness is on our account. And so that's what God sees. This righteousness guards our vital areas, which include our heart, which is dangerously wicked, the Bible says. But when we're saved, that heart belongs to the Lord. And His righteousness is what protects it. And so tonight we need to make sure that those vital areas are protected against the attacks of Satan. This area will catch blows, but it has protection. It will be protected. And so tonight, I'm not saying your heart will never be hurt or broken. I'm not saying that your heart will not take the attack. It will. But with that righteousness that covers us and that is before a holy God, we can stand tall knowing that Jesus is our strength, is our righteous one. Amen. And so tonight, that breastplate of righteousness needs to be put on. The third piece of armor, we go from the top of our bodies all the way down to the soles of our feet. Look at verse number 15. And the feet, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Feet matter. Now I'm going to, Debbie, I worked on concrete for 20 years. And some of you know what it's like to wear a work boot on concrete for 20 years. When you get home, the first thing you want to do is get them jokers off, right? And kick them feet up. Feet matter. And I want you to know our feet matter, but our steps matter. In that Roman soldier, they would be equipped with a sandal, but in those sandals, they would drive nails through the bottom of them to give them traction and grip, to give them a better foothold, if you will. And so how do you gain a foothold in this world and against the attacks of Satan? How do we gain a foothold? You need to Your feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Because we walk through this old world in warfare, every step is crucial. The enemy will lay traps He wants to stop the momentum of the gospel, and it is the gospel that protects and guides every step of your way, that you can make a stand or you can make a defense with the gospel. You can advance the truth with the gospel. And so that gospel needs to be upon us, on our feet, and we must overcome any obstacle by the gospel. I'm grateful tonight that it is the gospel that brings salvation to the unbeliever. And it is that gospel, it is that good news, it is the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. But I want to just make sure tonight you understand the gospel. What does that really mean? It doesn't mean coming to church. It doesn't mean reading your Bible. It doesn't mean praying. The gospel is very simply this: the good news that through Jesus' perfect life and through Jesus' death for our sin and through Jesus' resurrection on the third day, that we don't have to be ashamed of it, but it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe. And so tonight, it is knowing that truth, it is having that gospel that we can stand against the attack, but also we can move forward. Tonight, my prayer is that you know that every step you make is important. That your feet carry you every single day. And just as you bend down and tie your shoes every single day, you need to lace up, you need to put the gospel on every single day. Be a reminder of what Jesus has done for you. There's a fourth piece of equipment in verse number 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all. That doesn't mean this is the most important piece. But I believe this is one of the crucial pieces of the equipment that is needed, and that is the shield of faith. In the Roman army, those shields were huge. They were big. But they had a little mechanism that they could be locked together to form a wall. And if you lock those shields one behind another, it built a wall of defense for that Roman army. And in that same way, this shield of faith is a primary tool of defense. And the Bible, and Paul is pretty clear here, is that shield is going to take and undergo attack. The fiery darts of the devil, of the wicked. And so, that shield matters. What does faith do for you and I? Faith enables you to stand and withstand. It is a key defense in anything that comes our way. I don't know if you have to deal with this, but sometimes my mind is my own worst enemy. And in our mind, we can feel defeated. And we're going to get to our mind in just a second. But there are things that can be our defense. And one of those things is to put that shield of faith up and block. Faith is a reminder to us all that because of our faith in Jesus, that He will lead us and He will protect us and He will give us exactly what we need day by day. Our faith leads the victory charge in stopping the darts from Satan himself. Faith renders the darts worthless. Look at your Bibles again. Look at verse number 16. It is with this shield of faith, the Bible says, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Whatever Satan is throwing at you, those things can be snuffed out with faith. I'm not going to ask you tonight how many of you would label yourself. Well, I am going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you would label yourself strong in your faith? Or how many of you would label yourself weak in your faith? Well, I want to tell you this, even in my own strength, even when I think I'm strong in faith, I'm very, very weak. And so what we need to realize this, it is our faith that can help us in those times when Satan is working against us. But that faith is rooted in Jesus. And it is by His strength that we can fend off those darts. And my prayer tonight, that you would say your faith is strong. Tonight, if you say my faith is weak, I need to get stronger, take those steps. There's places you can get plugged in, that you can learn, that you can grow. We are all growing in our faith. Every person in here should be growing in their faith. Right? Amen? Even me. I'm not perfect. I'm growing in my faith. I'm sitting under somebody teaching me. Just so you know. We all need to grow. But it is with that faith, that is one of the main defenses. Above all, we need that faith as a barrier, as a protector, because the darts are coming. There's a fifth piece of equipment. That fifth piece of equipment is the helmet of salvation. Look at verse number 17. That helmet of salvation, it says to take the helmet of salvation. Now, that doesn't mean just to take it and carry it around. But that means to take it and put it on so it will guard against. Helmets protect the critical part of the body. I remember my first time being down in Carolina and nobody had a helmet on riding a motorcycle. It freaked me out. What also freaks me out is people enter a spiritual battle without knowing they're saved. Without their helmet of salvation. Can I tell you, every week people flood in this church, and there are some of those people that don't know if they're saved or not. They are wide open to the attacks of Satan. What does that helmet of salvation do? It protects your mind. It allows your focus to be on the promises of God. You can rest in the assurances of God. You can know that you are saved. The Bible says you can know that you are saved. And so tonight, that helmet of salvation protects against any worries or anxieties or doubts that try to creep into your mind. And tonight, I hope that you are saved. But just because you're saved doesn't mean that you won't fight or face the battle. That area is off limits, because Satan wants to attack the mind and put doubt in our heads that, are you really saved? Did you really mean that prayer? Did what you did at 5 save you when you're 50 years old? I've had all of those same thoughts. I'm not 50 though. I'm not 50. I just want to make a battle of the mind. And what Paul says, there's one thing that can help win this battle, and it is this: knowing that you are saved. The assurance of your salvation. Tonight, I believe with all my heart, you can know or you can be unsure. And if you're unsure tonight, you need to make sure that you're saved. You need to leave here knowing that you're saved. And I will offer this tonight. If you don't know you're saved and you're here, you come talk to me at the end of this. That helmet of salvation is vital. Look at the sword of the Spirit in verse number 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sixth piece of equipment is the only offensive weapon that we read. And that offensive weapon is the Word of God. There is power and truth contained in the Word of God that can overwhelm and overcome Satan. And here's what I want you to understand. There's no weapon greater than the Word of God. In our minds, we think this: Lord, send in the artillery. Lord, send in the Air Force. Or Lord, send in the atomic bomb and just take care of Satan once and for all. No, you're going to be on the front line, and you're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. And yes, you can be defensive in so many ways, but there's one thing that I'm going to give my army to combat Satan, to go on the offense, and that is the Word of God. Remember the close combat that we are in. The Spirit and the sword of God is a great weapon. And so tonight I end this little quick study overview with this. That is all that you need to withstand Satan. You're in a battle. We learned that last week. You're on the battlefield. You're on the front lines. And you need to use this equipment. Use it daily. Well, there's one more piece of essential equipment. Look at verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer leads the way. It is a priority that we must have each and every day. It is a priority that the Lord commands as you enter the battle. The strength comes from God, not from you. And so that's why we need the Lord. That's why we need to pray. So without the Lord, we're just going through the motions. Without His help, we're just out here flailing away. We're going by our own rules or our own plan. We're trying to defeat Satan with our own strength. And can I tell you something? Every time I've tried to leave the Lord out of it, I fail. And so prayer is an essential part of the equipment. So tonight, truth and righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, God's word, and prayer are all that is needed for battle. So tonight, I just want to ask you, are you using all the equipment? There's six pieces of equipment. You add prayer to it, and that's the seventh. Those seven things are essential to facing Satan's attack. Can you withstand? Tonight, as we close this study, are you feeling defeated? Have you entered the battle unprepared? Well, defeat's going to be the outcome. Or victory awaits. Praise God. Praise God. It's not a forever battle. But we got to be ready. We never know when the attacks are coming. One day, the Lord will put an end to this battle in a very miraculous way. And I can't wait. I believe it with all my heart. I'm going to be a witness to that. But until then, we not only have to put up with Him, there's a battle. And you must use that equipment. So tonight, as we close the pages on Ephesians chapter 6, I want to just do this. I want to pray that we are well aware of what is needed to win this battle. I want to pray for kinks in the armor. Maybe places we haven't put on everything. We've left a part on. And I want to say this. I hear it in most of the sermons I hear on Ephesians chapter 6, so I might as well say it too. You can't turn your back. The only place that's not protected is the back. You can't turn around and run. You can't retreat. You've got to face the enemy, and in the Lord's strength, you can win the battle. Praise God. No matter what you are facing tonight, that the Lord Jesus can help you win that battle. Let's pray. God, tonight, as we come before you in a moment of invitation, God, I pray that you will just stir our hearts in a way of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for showing us that you don't leave us alone on the front line. Lord, that you give us exactly what we need and you give us the strength and power to face Satan. Lord, we depend on you, and it is through prayer, Lord, we ask for your help. We seek your direction, your guidance. God, we need you to overcome the enemy. Or tonight, somebody may need you in a very special way. Somebody's facing something so intense, they've tried everything. God, I pray, Lord, that you will hear their prayer. That you will meet them on the front line. That you will reassure them, reassure their equipment, reassure their faith, reassure their salvation. Point them toward the enemy and move them forward, God, I pray. Lord, maybe there's somebody that's unsure of their salvation tonight. God, thank you, Lord, that through an old rugged cross, you forgive sin. Lord, thank you. Through a borrowed tomb, Lord, you rose on the third day and you give hope and life. God, tonight, if someone needs that assurance of salvation, God, I pray that you will meet them amidst their doubts tonight. God, we put all of this in your hand. We pray that you go before us. Lead us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church. You're always welcome to visit Clifford Baptist Church for Sunday school at 9:45, worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday evening worship at 7 p.m. Join us again for Truth for the Journey.